Quitters never give up.
You got these?
Have you ever had a dream?
Because I didn't give up, Bean.
You just gave the answer.
Quitters never give up.
Quitters never give up. Are the words that came out of his mouth.
Scott Walken, it's up to about.
Not embarrassed or humiliated or ashamed. He was proud of himself.
Don't tell me the American dream.
I'm not so lucky that my mind drifted as well.
Don't
tell me the American dream is dead.
All right, welcome to Quitters Never Give Up. This is episode 27. I'm Christopher Rosales. With me, as always, is Jen Sunshine, Edwin Buckshot Miller, and Lindsay A. in her car. So should we start with some Quitters Never Give Up news?
Yeah.
Quitters Never Give Up news.
What happened?
Your source for news in the Kevin and Bean universe.
I quit this bitch.
This week on the Quitters Never Give Up news was the Quitters Meetup. Lindsay, Edwin, and I met in person at a place I can best describe as the inside of the Matterhorn ride at Disneyland. What did you think, Edwin?
Well, for those of you that don't know, it was my birthday, and we decided the Quitters should get together, and we went to a restaurant near my house, and the lovely Lindsay treated us all. How sweet is she?
Then,
because I'm an old, I said, well, you guys have fun on your next adventure.
It was awesome to see you guys in person. It was great that LP came all the way from Atlanta to see her family and made time for us. And, you know, it was awesome to have Edwin's birthday. But we missed Jen.
For sure. Next
time. 6.5-hour drive. I don't know why you didn't make it.
I know, right?
But not to be outdone, Ali had a goodbye with Kevin, Cat, Stryker, and Chip the same night at a different restaurant at the Cat and the Fiddle. LP was saying how it just seemed so odd that there was just that coincidence that they went out and we went out.
Yeah, it's like they were having like a farewell dinner or whatever, and they met up basically at the exact same time that we did. And then like Allie's moving across country, and the whole point of this was to be able to meet up so that I was like coming from cross country. It was just funny.
The KBC force is strong.
All right. Shall we move to the clip that needs no introduction? Flashback with no introduction for Jen?
Here we go.
Here's the headline. Tell me this one didn't catch your attention. George Takei to beam up Trek co-stars for wedding. He, of course, is one of the high-profile gay celebrities that plans on getting married when he's able to here in a few weeks, I guess, in California, since that Supreme Court decision recently. He's going to marry his longtime partner of 21 years, George Takei. Very happy day right around the corner. And we've got the great actor on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you? You must be very happy.
We're very excited. Both Brad and I can't wait to finally take the plunge.
You know, a lot of times this happens with a celebrity couple where one person is famous. We know so much about you, Mr. Takei. We don't know anything about Brad. What's his deal?
He's dreamy.
Right.
That's all you need to know.
Okay. All right.
We met at the gym.
Oh, you were both working out?
Yes.
Okay.
And I just couldn't take my eyes off his lean, tight, muscled body.
Okay. I see. Okay. All right.
Tremendous and... glutes. I set my phaser for sauna.
I'm not even sure what that means.
We went into the sauna.
Oh, okay. I got you.
And nature took its course.
Okay. Now, 21 years you've been together, and as I understand it from the recent media reports, you were planning on proposing to him, and then wouldn't you know, the little minx, he surprised you by getting down on one knee and proposing to you.
He did. I was eating a sandwich, and he got down on one knee. And usually that means one thing.
But this
what
time,
does that usually
this,
mean, George?
This time, he pulled out a ring.
Oh.
And the next thing you knew, we were making plans.
Wow. Very exciting. Now, we saw in People magazine that your best man is going to be your colleague from Star Trek, Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov.
Yes, Walter will be my best man. And Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura on the show, will be my matron of honor.
Okay. Do you
very, very Trek ceremony.
Have you not made any friends since the late 60s?
Well, these are the people I'm closest with.
Okay.
So the theme will be Star Trek.
Okay. So
and all the guests will be shuttlecraft from the ceremony to the reception.
And what's the shuttlecraft going to be made of?
It's going to be a shuttle van.
Okay. All right. A van. Okay.
Paper mache all over it.
Okay.
It's like a spaceship.
This is interesting because I would think that you would be making fun of Trek fans who would have a Star Trek theme wedding, and here you are having one yourself.
Well, actually, I hadn't planned on cashing in on the Star Trek fame,
mm-hmm.
but my sister Lika.
I'm sorry?
My sister Lika Takei.
You have a.
She came up with the idea to get some publicity by doing that. She's helping me plan the event.
She's not there, is she?
Actually, she is here, yeah.
That's great news.
Here at the house. We're working on some plans as we speak.
Hey, Lika.
Good morning, Kevin. I mean, how are you?
Lika, you're helping your brother plan the wedding, are you?
Yes, I am.
What a unique idea to have a Star Trek wedding.
Isn't it, though?
What is wrong with you, George? What are you doing?
It's going to be fabulous.
Yes, we're setting phasers for fabulous.
I think they're such a beautiful couple.
Look, Lisa, you're not doing Bela Lugosi. You're doing George Takei's sister.
This is Lika.
Yeah, Lika. I'm sorry, I meant Lika.
Why you called her Lisa?
I don't know
what that's about.
All right. So, are there any non-Star Trek actors at all involved in the wedding, or is it the whole thing just going to be the guys from the show?
George, that's for you.
It's mostly a Trek theme.
Yeah.
Mostly a Trek theme.
Even the wedding night, when Brad launches his photon torpedo.
Right.
Oh.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh.
Right. George, you mind if we just talk to your sister from now on?
Not at all.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
Okay, that's great.
Oh, that one cracks me up. Lisa was such a good sport.
Is that her best character, Lika?
I don't know. I just stumbled upon it. I just thought it was pretty. Everyone cracking up in the background is hysterical, but she was just such a good sport and doing stuff like that and playing along. It was just awesome.
And that's Stu calling foreign. What's the next clip?
Calling foreign countries. India is in Asia, and Bean is just not having it.
Speaking of movies, last week we were talking about M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Sure.
Hey! The director of the classic Sixth Sense, and then a series
Indian,
of.
Indian, Mike.
That's
Indian.
Asia.
That's in Asia.
He's
work
right.
You.
He's
work
right.
You. Work you. Face!
I refuse to acknowledge that India is in Asia. I'm sorry.
Well, okay.
We had this.
I don't know what to do about
it. Indians don't feel that way.
I still, doesn't seem like, seems like it's its own thing. It doesn't seem like it's part of Asia.
They're Indians. They're not Asians. They're Indians.
I'm glad you feel that way.
As long as you feel that way.
I want to ask the Indians how they feel.
I will. Let's call India.
How,
all right.
How? Me like them have.
Not that kind of Indians.
What? Let's call India and ask. Get us a number, Alex. We want to call before the end of the showbiz report, please.
Should we thank them?
Maybe we will.
No, that's where Bean's going.
Can I get back to my story?
Yes, please.
Yes, as long as you acknowledge that we can call India and find out if they consider themselves part of Asia.
M. Night Shyamalan made Sixth Sense and then a series of progressively worse turds.
Right.
And I was saying how much I'm afraid of this, The Happening, because it's going to be as bad as other stuff was.
Looks good.
Well, thank you for the listeners who sent me this little piece of an interview he did regarding The Happening. Where apparently he thinks he's a pretty good director. Here's the quote. If something happens during the movie and you think that's dumb, it'll be because whatever happened was actually too amazing for you to fully understand. Or possibly a metaphor for something really crazy and cool.
He has to be joking. He's being funny.
I hope he's not.
So if it's bad, it's not him, it's us.
Yes! Wow. You just don't get it, man.
He's being funny.
It's my favorite defense, by the way, for bad things. You just don't get it, man. It's just you.
Here's the point.
Stupid.
I'm shocked that he didn't make the Zohan movie, to tell you the truth.
I think he wanted to.
Dare you.
And the twist would have been Zohan was actually dead the whole time. He was cutting hair with ghost scissors.
Well, I want The Happening to be good.
No, you don't.
Which
no, you
I do. I want it to be good because I like that sort of movie and I like Mark Wahlberg and I love Zoe. She's in that and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you so nervous? Just because the last couple have been so-so?
The guy made one great movie. Everything else has been just...
I liked Signs. I liked Signs.
I did too.
It's water. Water kills the aliens.
That was the last 5 minutes were pretty dreadful.
That's
but the rest of the movie was good.
Aliens come to a planet that's 75% water. Because they know they're safe. Oh, wait a minute. It kills them.
Why do you hate?
That's like us saying, let's go to that big planet that's on fire over there with no suits on. Let's just go to the big fireball planet. Let's go to the sun. Let's just have a manned space trip to the sun. What do you say, NASA? Let's do it.
I want a good movie.
I've heard a spoiler about this, The Happening, by the way. And if it's the case, I'm going to go see it. And if it's the twist, if this is the twist, I'm going to come back and somebody's going to pay.
Maybe you're just not, you don't understand. You're not thinking on that deep a level.
It's just, it's too cool for me, and I just don't get it.
You want to talk to Baliki from Los Angeles?
No, because I want to call India.
This person is half Indian and
it
knows.
It doesn't matter. Well, yeah, he lives here, though. What the hell does he know? We Americans don't know anything.
He only half knows that if he's half Indian.
That's right.
Ralph just gets us out of calling India.
No, that's true.
No, we're calling anyway.
Baliki?
Baliki?
Balike.
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 Hi.
Good morning.
How?
Wait. All right. Indian people consider themselves Asian or not?
Yeah, because in school and on applications when you have to pick out your ethnicity box, I would check Asian.
But Bean does not agree with that.
Well, that's his problem.
Oh, okay.
It's not true. I'm
You're
sorry. India is not in Asia.
He's wrong. Part of Asia, so what are we a part of? Then?
You're a part of Asia.
India right, is the wrong. Subcontinent, right? You're your own thing. You're not Asian. You're Indian.
Well, you know what? Like, our beliefs religiously are similar, and there's a lot of other similarities, but technically we are considered a part of Asia.
Yeah,
you
know, you're wrong. You're
She's not wrong. You're wrong.
How would you know? How would you know?
Balike?
I would know because I'm half Indian. Actually, my name Balike is Sanskrit. It's from the Hindu Bible, so I don't know how much more Indian
Her name is from the Hindu Bible.
It's not from the freaking Japanese Bible, though, is it? Or the Chinese Bible, is it? No, you know why? Not Asian.
You're so dumb.
Bean was not having it.
Well, Bean is still doing that, isn't he? He's arguing all the time with Ali about where the Midwest is. So it's that Asperger's map thing. It's proof that he does have Asperger's.
But if he saw a map, he'd see that India is on the continent of Asia. And so they would be Asian. All right, shall we move on to the podcast roundup?
Nailed it.
Ow! 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 Ow!
You get it, Edwin. You want her to promote your podcast. We got it.
Say hello to happy goodbye to the blue.
Janky Podcast.
Not the same monster that is under our kills.
Yay! All right, starting off with the Ralph Report. Let me play this clip right here.
When I was a younger man, I used to listen to a lot of classical.
Oh, did you have a classical fit? Did you wear powdered wigs?
Yes, I went through a phase where
white
powder. I would powder my face and put a little mole, a little birthmark on my cheek. And I had a flourishing brocade jackets and buckles on my shoes.
That must have been quite the phase you went through.
High socks. Made for interesting times in junior high school.
See, this is why Ralph and I should be best friends. I love classical music. I love jazz. We love bourbon. You know, he plays drums. I play bass. We could just have a whole day. Classical music, jazz, whiskey bars.
The best way to learn about classical music is to watch Bugs Bunny cartoons. Yes. You'll hear basically every great musical piece in those at one time or another.
Yep.
Then Ralph and Eddie also take on nerd culture. Let's hear this clip about nerds being assholes.
When did the nerds and the geeks become such assholes?
You're living in the greatest time to be a nerd, when there is constant nothing but that superhero movies, comic book TV shows, everything is constantly coming out. You're inundated with all this shit. And all you can do is
all your wettest dreams come true.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is crying about it.
Fucking assholes.
When I was a kid,
assholes.
I would hang with the nerds and the geeks, and everybody was jolly. And we'd go to the comic book store together. We'd talk about our stuff that we liked, and we all enjoyed ourselves.
You enjoyed it. That's why you did it.
We watched the Hulk, and we watched Wonder Woman, and we watched Batman, and nobody bitched and moaned it wasn't done right. Yeah. We just were happy to have it on television.
If you don't like it, don't watch it. Ain't it the truth?
Mm.
So this came about because Kevin Smith did Masters of the Universe, and also the Ghostbusters trailer dropped, and everybody just lost their mind.
So what happened with the Masters of the Universe? I saw the stuff online, but I don't understand it.
He-Man is a cartoon from the 80s that was designed to sell toys that is, if you watch it now, doesn't really age well. Everything around it is just merchandising. It's total cash grab, And so all these nerds are losing their... And I don't even want to say that they're nerds, because there's just this business of people making YouTube videos just shitting on things. So if you go to like a lot of these pages, it's like everything wrong with this and everything wrong with that and everything wrong with this. And it's not in good fun. There's some pages that are like good fun, like CinemaSins and like that. But this one is just like ripping it apart and and calling Kevin Smith a liar, and he bait and switched. Yeah, and basically Netflix split this 10-episode series into two parts, five episodes and then five episodes. In this whole series, Teela, who's a female character, has a bigger part in it than she used to have in the cartoon, and that's typically where all this stuff comes from. So, they just lose their shit.
So we have to make it exactly the same as before?
Oh, yeah. But also, if you liked the show, you'd see that this show is very much in the whole He-Man kind of universe. Like, even, like, the comic books and all that stuff, all the critics and true comic book nerds like the show because it explores the whole universe. I don't know. I saw it. I liked it. It was a good show.
Okay, so then the Ghostbusters thing. I haven't seen the trailer, but I know the premise of the new story, which I think is actually kind of interesting. And so what's the problem they have with that? That it's not the same thing as before?
Yeah, that it just doesn't seem funny, I guess. To me, it's all a business where they get people clicking and viewing because they're just crapping on it.
Oh, okay.
But I digress. Ralph introduces us to Sarah Brand, which, Eddie, do you want to go more into Sarah Brand?
No, the only thing I was impressed by is who else but Queen Jay. Ralph mentioned it on Monday, and she had a full song on Tuesday that he played. So does anyone know what Sarah Brand is? What is this thing? Is she real? Is this a fake out? Is she playing a character?
Once Ralph brought that forward, and then he had to bring it up again the next day, it kept reminding me of that song. It sounds just like Cold War Kids First. It was driving me nuts for a couple of hours. So what Queen Jay did, she ended up remixing the song or re-singing it or whatever the proper term is. She actually sent it to Sarah Brand. I saw that over on Twitter, and Sarah was very grateful and stuff. So I don't know. I think maybe she just doesn't have the talent, but she has the right video producers and things like that.
Listening to the song, it sounds like it's done purposefully bad because everything's well produced, and even the way the voice is recorded is well produced. It's just a little bit off, and any producer that can make that track could actually fix it really easily with software.
I saw on I believe it was Twitter, the company that she had hired to do the mixing, but she didn't send them an STEM. I don't know what that means.
Vocal track, I guess?
Maybe. So they had posted the original on YouTube under their YouTube channel. So, and it sounded worse to me, so I don't really know. But then Queen Jay seemed to clean it up quite fine.
Well, yeah, because Queen Jay said it was like a Faith Hill song. I've heard other people say that it's a Taylor Swift song. You say it's Cold War Kids song. It sounds pretty generic. But she's an Oxford master's student in sociology.
Right.
So to me, it's some kind of social experiment.
Conspiracy Alley needs to get on this.
Yeah. She's going to write some kind of thesis on how people are horrible stuff online.
It's all coming together now that I heard that.
Yeah. But I could be wrong, because the other thing that makes me think I'm wrong is that the song Red Dress has a very feminist message. So if you're going to mess with people like that, why would you take something so serious and important and put it in the song? And then lastly, I just want to leave with this Sally Struthers clip that Ralph played that I had nowhere else to put, which just was hilarious to me.
Okay, Ralph, who do you want to play with?
I like to play with Sally.
Oh, good. You and Sally.
Ralph.
Come on, Sally.
Are you married, Ralph?
No, I'm not married either.
Neither am I.
See?
You're going to be busy all evening, it sounds like, Ralph.
Yeah, Sally Struthers from All in the Family, from Feed the Children, was hitting on Ralph during his game show days. Which.
Good on you, Ralph. I wonder if anything ever came of that.
Moving on to Janky Town, Omar let us know this week that he was part of his first ever meeting with the K-Rock Morning Show, even with Kevin and Bean. He never participated in any meetings. And this meeting featured the big boss, as he said. He didn't say who it was. This meeting focused on the show Post Striker, the new host. Come on, Doto. Let's hope for Doto. Doto. A new name. And he said the meeting felt very corporate, and also that Klein is the dick that keeps the meeting going by asking questions, you know, right at the end.
Right.
Anyhow, Omar is now a co-host of the morning show, and he actually received notes on his character. Moving on. Now, Dave calls Costco an adult wonderland that has the best hot dogs. And then Omar has uncontrollable cartoon hate for Costco.
Adult Wonderland, there's so many stupid kids everywhere. It's so goddamn annoying. And by the way, you cannot ever go to a Costco and be in and out in under an hour. When you go to a Costco, you're there 5 hours minimum. You're stuck there, and they try to make the freaking lanes wide enough, but they're not wide enough because you're always, oh, excuse me, and you're always bumping into somebody, and then you get to the stupid checkout line, and it takes you a freaking hour and a half to get through the checkout line. And by the way, you plan on just spending $100 or $200. You end up spending $1,000. You got to take out a fucking mortgage to buy anything at Costco.
It's because there's so many options. You want everything.
Nah, you don't need it, though. Nah. That's the Costco is the king of selling you shit you don't need. You do not need. But dude, tell my wife that. I'm not going to tell. Hey, Kaz, put that down. And she's all going to get, we're going to get in a fight over some Costco shit. I was like, nah, I don't care. Just, you know, oh, I hate Costco.
I mean, dude, now they have self-checkout. So, boom, you have like a couple of items, self-checkout.
No, forget it.
Ready to go.
At Costco.
Ready to go.
At Costco, you have a bunch of like, you know, unhip old people, and they're going to get lost in the self-checkout, and they're going to be there, oh, what? How do you beep? Can I get help over here? And their Costco card is from the fucking 1980s, so the scanner is not going to work properly. Can I get a new card over here? It's always something at Costco.
Right. You can't just run into Costco. My wife went to Costco to get peanut butter, and it was a $300 bill because you see everything else you need.
Why would you go to Costco just get peanut butter?
No, she went to get peanut butter.
That's what I'm asking. Why
she went to get one thing, and then the next thing you know, you buy a whole pallet of other stuff.
Okay. The logic there is strange.
Oh, it just happens every time. She goes, I went to Costco. I'm like, okay, you need $300, right?
Yeah, but if you want just peanut butter, then you go to like Ralph's or Vons or something like that. Like, I don't understand why you would go to Costco without like needing a lot of different things.
I when I go to Costco, I have a game plan. I know what I'm going to get, and I know what I'm going to get is going to last me a long time. But let's hear Dave bring up the samples, and let's hear Omar talk more about the samples.
Okay. So you don't want to spend your money on that, or the pizza, or the chicken bake, or whatever. The sundae.
Oh, I like the chicken bake. Yeah.
Yeah, you could just walk around in Costco and get samples of this, samples of that, a little drinky drink sample, sample here, sample there, you know, samples everywhere, and then you're full. Boom, go home. You don't even have to spend anything. Done.
Stupid samples, man. Listen, I will say whatever they serve is good. It's good stuff, but it's too small. I have to get in line three or four different times because they got me hook, line, and sinker, and then that's another useless thing that they because, okay, but all the shit that they sell is good in small doses. So I'm like, okay, and then I take it home and I try it at home. It's too much. I don't like this. Why did I buy this? I wasted just $20 on this chicken blah, 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 whatever it is, and it's too much in little small doses. It's great. It's too much, Dave.
By the way, the chicken blah, blah, blah is just delicious at Costco.
I'm glad Dave explained samples to us. So that's how that works.
I love how he's a little sample fairy over a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I just picture him just dancing around.
Part of the experience.
Yeah. But now Jen agrees with Omar, and in the usual circumstance, I agree with Dave. So Jen, why do you hate Costco?
Okay, let's disclaimer. I like Costco. One of the reasons I will support them is because they've always paid their people well. I think they're co-owned with the employee-owned or something like that. And I love Costco. They have two-day delivery. So I don't even have one near me. But the times I've been in it, it is just so many people. And it's just like, I kind of get in there and I just want out. And so that's really it. The food itself is great. So we had a Cost You Less here. When you live in small places, they have a smaller version of it, which was great. And so I could get the bulk seasonings and the bulk stuff. It was wonderful. So that's all. I don't have the hate for it that Omar does.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. On Cup of Tea in a Chat, they did drop two best of episodes that had more butthole talk than we thought possible. And a lot of drops. I got a lot of drops from them, like this one.
Uh-oh, a penis.
And then this one.
A very pretty penis.
And this one.
You want us to care, make it a dick, all right?
But also during the Best of episode on Monday, Bean reminds us of a time that Kevin and Bean went on a trip to find the Loch Ness Monster. It's weird because today, the recent Kevin and Bean couldn't even get an outing to the slide bar. But in the 90s, and I remember this, Kevin and Bean could fly to Scotland to search for the Loch Ness Monster. But yeah, and then Kevin talks about a time where he talked Bean into catching the sheep, which just shows that Kevin can talk anybody into doing anything stupid.
Yeah, he got old stick in the mud Bean to do something fun. I think that you're right. It was in the 90s when Bean would still do stuff.
Yeah.
And then you could hear a song that they wrote, and Bean performs it on the podcast, so that's worth the subscription there. But on this last trip, Bean and Donna had a great time, and although in Loch Lomond, during his visit, three people died, and this made me ask if this is the work of the Louisiana Creeper.
The Louisiana Creeper?
I just wanted to play that drop. Bean has been recording random children. Using the cover of a warning about Ali's move, he plays a recording he made of children at a daycare in his neighborhood. Let's hear him explain what he found after moving to his new home and his explanation for being creepy.
Three preschools in our neighborhood, okay? We didn't know. We'd been to the house twice. You've never even been to your house. So you don't know what kind of surprises your neighborhood. We had never heard the noise from the kids that we now have to live with.
So now here's Bean starting to play the recording, and then Ali starts to call him out on it. And let's hear Ali call him out on it.
In a window?
No, I recorded this last Wednesday. I walked by the school, okay? Last Wednesday, I walked by the school because I said...
Okay, are you walking by schools recording children, Bean?
I mean, just with a video camera and no pants, why do you ask?
Oh, no!
That's classic Bean. I don't know where he comes up with that shit. But let's listen to the recording. See if we can pick up on anything about British children.
I want to be quiet for a second and let you see what it's like to live in my house.
I like them so much. They're my favorite. When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
This is in my backyard, okay? This is in my backyard.
That's crazy. Yes.
Sandy, no, Christopher.
When he started playing the kids, it was just a long pause of kids playing. It just made me think of the Hot Cheetos girl.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, I'm mad I didn't think of that first. Damn it.
Lastly, Bean brings up Bigfoot and that there's a lot of Bigfoot in Maine. And Allie had this response.
You literally just talked about how my home butts up to forest. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we talked about how I love the hairy guy from Ted Lasso.
That's what made me think of this story, by the way. Because I thought, that's perfect for Allie.
I am totally going to bone Bigfoot.
Good to have goals.
Yeah. All right, that's the podcast roundup. Moving on.
Press the button.
And win.
Send me back into time.
One, two, three.
It's a new day.
Oh, begin at the beginning.
Our feature presentation.
Week the Walls
2010, Kevin decided to try something different.
Right.
What happened to your proof system where you were able to get any place with 30 seconds to spare?
I was sitting at the gate while you were playing 30 Seconds to Mars, and then I was looking for my card, and I realized, oh, I can't find my card, so I can't get in.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So then I was looking for my cell phone. And I can't find my cell phone. So now I'm sitting out there going, what do I do, scale the fence? Like, I can't call. Oh, there's that call box. You're supposed to push, you know, *24 or something. And that doesn't work. It's just not connected to anything.
You know, so you just have to wait till somebody else showed up?
Yes.
A bear in a car that was trapped in a car was able to get more attention and get help quicker than you were.
That's true. I was completely helpless. I was just sitting there listening to you guys. Mike was doing the drunk voice. And Lisa was making fun of me for grabbing the headphones and falling. And I heard it all. I was sitting right out there going, sure can't do anything.
That is the funniest thing ever.
Sure can't call anyone.
You need to start to pack a ladder.
I do.
If only you knew you needed that key card to get into the building every time you came to work, you could put it someplace where you'd know
where
to be.
That's new today, though, right?
No, it's been that way for, forever.
Oh.
Gotta love the Kev dog. Forgot his key card and forgot his phone. So he's just sitting out there. The host of the show, I'm going to have to wait till someone else shows up. So they were still coming off of the week of Comic-Con. So while they were there, they recorded some interviews that they were going to play later. And they talked to Roger Corman. He's a legendary movie producer. God, he's still alive. He's 95. he gave a start to guys like Jack Nicholson, Bruce Dern, Martin Scorsese, Francis Ford Coppola, James Cameron. So a lot of people got their first jobs with this guy. Anyway, he also produced a very important movie that we know called Sharktopus. So they had an interview with him.
Mr. Corman, the truth is that since the minute Sharktopus was announced, we all got excited, but Ralph knew that it was his life's work to get in the movie. And I'm sure that happens to you all the time where people want to work in one of your films. But Ralph has thought of little else in this year besides being able to say, damn you, Sharktopus, in a sci-fi movie.
He will be immortalized in this film.
Sharktopus really has sort of taken on a life of its own on the internet. The minute it was announced, it seemed like everyone was automatically interested. Why do you think that was?
I think it was partially the title and partially the footage. It really turned out well, and the CGI, the special effects for the Sharktopus, turned out exceptionally well. The strange thing is the trailer took off, and it doesn't even have the best CGI in it because we haven't done that yet.
Where did the idea come from, Roger, if you know? Like, who first thought Shark plus Octopus?
The title came from sci-fi, and they asked me if I wanted to make it because I'd done Dino Shark and so forth. And I said, no, I have a theory that you can go up to a certain level of insanity with Dino Croc, Dino Shark, and so forth, but you go above that level of insanity, and the audience says, forget it.
And you were wrong.
I was wrong. Really, and the reaction, the publicity, just from the title alone, was the biggest sci-fi has had all year, or maybe last year. And the trailer, I guess, is the number one trailer on the internet. So you learn something even at my age.
I love how Roger Corman thought, Dino Croc, that's fine, that's at the line. Sharktopus, oh, that's above the line. So he has standards, I suppose. Yeah, so I think they released the trailer for Sharktopus around the time of Comic-Con. So it was kind of a big hit in the sci-fi community. And it just cracks me up that Ralph just kind of got himself on it by screaming, damn you, Sharktopus, all the time. They were giving away tickets to the premiere of Dinner for Schmucks. It was a Steve Carell movie, Steve Carell and Paul Rudd. So they were taking some calls from people who had screwed up in their relationship, got their significant other mad, and they thought, well, that makes you a schmuck. You can go see this movie, maybe make it up to them. They took a call, and I love this. This is one of my favorite things. Lisa kind of getting a little bit mad, kind of getting feisty.
Let's try Oscar.
Let's try Oscar. Okay. Because this doesn't seem like the smartest move on Oscar's part. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, how's it going there, guys?
This weekend, you spent the night with who?
Well, I was at a party with mutual friends about 2 weeks ago, and I ended up taking off with my ex.
Your ex?
My ex-wife. And
your ex-wife?
Yeah. Okay. And there's a mutual friend that knows my girlfriend now.
Your current girlfriend?
And, yeah. So she's
who's telling this story? Oscar or you?
I'm trying to get him to tell the important parts. He has a girlfriend. He spent the night with his ex-wife.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, see, my girlfriend only knows that we took off, and that's all she knows. Hopefully she's not listening right now, or else I'm in deeper trouble here.
Yeah, Oscar, we can't help you.
I got to tell you.
I'm sorry.
I got to tell you. He's going to come on the radio to tell her that he slept with his ex-wife.
Yes.
Well, one, he's not a good guy.
And it's Monday.
He's an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Well, alcohol was involved, so I could only take 50% of the blame.
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, my God.
I think we have to turn Oscar away, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, we can't help you. Movie's not going to save you. I'm sorry.
We have alcohol at our party.
Right.
I don't trust him.
Listen, this can only fix minor stuff. We're not looking for you moved in and remarried your ex-wife and your girlfriend's angry.
So Lisa shot that guy down. Well-deserved, by the way. They had the one and only Winnebago Man on the show. The real guy, because the documentary came out. They had the producer, his name is Ben Steinbauer, and Winnebago Man himself on the show. And we know Kevin loves him. He thinks that's his actual real-life father.
Now, Jack, you tried very hard, it appears at the beginning of the movie, to not be found. I mean, it was really difficult for Ben to track you down.
It's not a question of not being found. I know where I am.
Not you, but I'm saying, did you try to get you didn't even know what was going on, did you?
No, of course I didn't know. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks before finally Ben and I spoke, and a friend of mine called, and he said, have you pulled yourself up on the tube lately? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you're all over the damn place. And I said, huh? And he said, it's you. And so he played some of it for me, and of course I agreed. I said, yeah, that's me. That's it. You know, and by the way, don't call me a star. I'm more or less of a black hole rather than a star.
Oh, but I love you so much.
No, you're selling yourself short here. Now,
so Winnebago Man was really good on the show. And they did play one other clip from the actual documentary, which cracks me up. When Ben Steinbauer first interviewed him, he's trying to get him to do the documentary, trying to talk him into it. And he wasn't that much into it.
Let's hear a clip from the documentary again in theaters now called Winnebago Man. And this is at the very opening of the film. And this is when I knew that I wasn't just in love with the Jack Rebney of the Winnebago Man YouTube clip. This is when I knew I was in love with the 2010 Jack Rebney. Listen to his reaction to Ben as Ben's trying to talk him into doing the film.
I don't give a f***. I'm 78 years old. Why should I put up with this? You're going to make no difference whatsoever. Because the only thing it will ultimately come to is that, well, this guy's been crazy all his life. You know.
That's not true. That'll humanize
that, of course, it is. No, it will not humanize
it. Yes, that'll make people understand.
That's your opinion,
Ben.
It ain't mine.
Well, but I don't understand. The movie's about me.
Don't. Come on. Don't tell me.
You know what this is? This is about who you are and what your past experiences have been.
No.
And what you've learned.
Oh, well, like, sure. You want to talk about me?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm trying to talk about you.
Yeah.
You're not letting me talk.
Well, I don't.
Jack's my man. Jack's, I hope to be Jack one day.
You are Jack now, by the way.
Yeah, Bean is very much like that guy right now. I think that's why he sparked to him so much. Now, on the last show, we talked about they came up with What'd You Do? Remember, that just came out of nowhere. They were doing a call-in. Kevin said that. And I thought a caller brought that to their attention, but it actually was someone else. So the next week, they started playing that more as a regular drop.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. Ralph Garman is here with his feature, Things About People. What's going on, Ralph?
What did you do?
What did you do?
What did you do?
I suggest we change the name of What It Do Nephew in the morning. We take our phone calls to What Did You Do? Hey, what did you do, everybody?
I have to thank Omar for the catch on this. The rest of us are oblivious to what Kevin sounds like on the radio anymore, but he did send in this piece of tape yesterday that we had a lot of fun with. If you missed it, here's, I think, one of Kevin's finest.
What did you do?
I was saying that all day yesterday, just for no reason. Just talking to my wife. What did you do? She's like, what? What did you do?
I can't hear what's funny about that.
That's the beauty of you, Skippy.
So I think in honor of Kevin, we should all go up to someone we know, say, what'd you do? Right. Yeah, and that was an Omar catch. They didn't even notice it in the moment. They were so used to Kevin talking like that.
Didn't they set that clip to the Addams Family at some point?
Yes.
I think that'll come up like maybe the next week. When that comes up, Quitters Never Give Up News will bring you breaking news from 2010. So I will find that eventually. I do wish they had changed What'd You Do Nephew to What'd You Do. That would have been perfect. Missed opportunity. They did a story about the Kings of Leon. They were doing a concert in 2010. And the venue had a problem with pigeons roosting by the stage and dive bombing them and pooping on them. So they actually had to cancel the concert, which is very strange. And this brought to mind, you remember. Yeah, it was a very bizarre story. You remember Nicole Alvarez had a few drinks at a weenie roast and interviewed Kings of Leon.
I love you guys no matter what. Like, this album's really good, but before that, like, you guys are great. So I wish that people don't judge you by this album, because before you were great.
Right.
Yeah, this album's just different, but before, it was amazing too.
Wow.
So I wish you continued success. I'm Nicole Alvarez. This is the world famous K-Rap.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that so much. She was trying to say she likes their old music and their new music, but it sounded like a slam. So, of course, Kevin and Bean used that as grist for the mill, as they say, and they called the pigeons that dive-bombed Kings of Leon.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this unfortunate story and the plans for Kings of Leon to reschedule, so we asked producer Alex to line somebody up from the Verizon Amphitheater in St. Louis, Missouri, and I think that person joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello!
Wow, there's pigeons in the office. Hello?
Hello?
This isn't someone from the venue, is it? It's a pigeon.
No, I'm one of the pigeons.
You're a pigeon.
I'm a pigeon.
Yeah, you guys have made a lot of news since you got Kings of Leon to walk off stage.
Yeah, Kings of Leon. They used to be good.
So, did you intentionally poop on the band members, or was it just an unfortunate accident?
No, I intentionally pooped on the band members.
Are you drunk?
No.
It sounds like you're drinking right now.
No, you are.
I'm not. You're actually not. What is your name, Pigeon?
My name's Nicole.
Okay, Nicole.
Okay, are you the leader?
Are
you the pigeon leader?
I am on it in the afternoon here in the rafters.
All right. So why did you poop on Kings of Leon? Do you not enjoy their music?
They used to be good, and they sold out.
Did they really?
Oh, they sold out.
I hate to think everyone at that show thought that this album represents what they really are.
Well, this
not that. They used to be good, and why do people now listen to them and not listen to what they hadn't been doing before?
Right, but a lot of people really like the new Kings of Leon sound. It's been a very popular record for them. Oh, he's drinking again.
He's poop.
Maybe you should drink less.
I put poop on the poopy band.
Are you? Yeah. Have you guys identified which one of you nailed their mouth? Because it went in one of their mouths.
Yeah, it was me.
It was you?
Yeah.
Nice shot.
That's why it tasted like tequila. He said, that tastes like poop with tequila.
Well, that's an upside at least.
Jose Cuervo. He's good. I make good margaritas. Okay. You okay?
Yeah, so funny.
Need a drink?
No,
a little drink. Take a little drink.
That's the one thing I don't need.
Just take a little drink.
All right.
And that wasn't even the Wheel of Bad Animal voices. They just came off of that on the top of their head. A one-off.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, they didn't want to risk not talking to Nicole the Pigeon.
I love Ralph's drunk voice. Now, that became a bit for years. Like, if someone was a new band came out or they wanted to slam someone, drunk Nicole would say, "Oh, you used to be good." Back in 2010, they were talking about Jersey Shore because the second season was starting. God tell me why, I don't know. Anyway, the one good thing that came about was that they had a Jersey Shore name generator. So they went to it, they put everybody's name in, and they got the names of the cast.
But the reason I mention this is because they've got a site on the web now where you can plug in your name and they will give you your Jersey Shore name. It's a name generator, they call it.
Okay.
Just want to remind everyone that Lisa May is Hotspot.
Is or has?
When we're all living in our Jersey Shore house, we have to refer to her as Hotspot.
All right. Hotspot. I like it.
Yeah. Brian.
What?
Bean.
You mean Bean?
Bean is Bean. Is B Train. I was looking at B Train and I saw the R in there that threw me. B Train. Mike is Hard Hat.
Yeah.
I am the Operation. And Kevin, of course, is the Sausage Party.
He's got the best name.
Come on.
He does have the best name.
I rule. I'm the Sausage Party. Brian has a bad name.
I kind of like a B Train for Bean. I mean, who's less like a B Train, actually? Bean was, if you remember last time, Bean was just cracking himself up with the pug clip, the pug that said, Batman.
Yeah.
And like we always say, who cracks up Bean the most? Bean. So he brought it back next week, too.
It is horrible, but it is better than the last song that he did for Lindsay. You guys remember that one from the last time she was in jail?
I don't remember that.
I got a piece. That didn't make any sense.
Batman? What are you doing?
He wrote the Batman theme for her?
That didn't even make sense.
That was even Godor. I figured at least it'd be Godor or something entertaining.
Because
I'm the biggest Batman fan in the world. Even thought I thought that was inappropriate.
Because it was the pug. It's the pug singing Batman. That's why.
Well, you can't tell it when it's got the theme behind it. It didn't sound like the pug.
That was the pug.
I reject you totally.
I don't understand.
But wait. You can't even hear the pug.
Well, then I'm sorry.
It would have been fine if you just played the pug raw.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Yeah, you do get a zero.
Sorry, you got a zero, man.
Swing and a miss.
Maybe that's where Bean's fascination with pugs started. I don't know. And then he went back for seconds just moments later.
Dale DeBone, who is close to my heart because he plays Batman in the Not Batman XXX parody.
Don't do it, B.
Shiloh Styles. Wow. And Emma Stone. So she's going with the top notch.
Better.
Wow.
That is an actual dog, by the way. That's the fascinating part.
I need to own that dog, by the way.
All right, so keep that. Get rid of the dog with the music.
You can't tell. Can't even hear it.
Because that was the YouTube video was the dog singing along. Of the
horrible.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Not even close.
Got two zeros today.
Now that was a 2-0 day for Bean. But it cracked me up, so I'm going to give him one. So he's like negative one now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the week that was 2010, guys.
All right. Good stuff.
Yay.
Okay, folks, that was Critters Never Give Up. We try to keep you up to date on all the goings-on in the Kevin and Bean universe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
You can email us at quittersnevergiveup@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at quittersnever or on Instagram at quittersnevergiveup. Or leave us a message at anchor at anchor.com/quitters.
Anchor.fm.
Anchor.fm.com. /.com.
/.
No.
.org.
There's no /. There's no anchor.com. There's no. There's a link in our podcast description where you can send in a voice message.
Okay.
It's
one of our best endings yet.
I agree.